This is what you would have heard had I done the usual recording. How to work in a hostile environment. And this is the opening scripture. Matthew chapter 5. It's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right after the Beatitudes, which continues for three chapters. A lot of people just stop in the first 12, but verses 14, 15, and 16. And think about some of your testimonies this morning. And Andy, be particularly thinking about what you shared about being there and being available and being prompted by the Spirit to go to someone or to do something for somebody. Think about these scriptures in the light of the conversation in the room today. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sometimes it takes days before I ask the Lord for an opening scripture. And sometimes it's the last minute, and I've always told, if he doesn't give me one, we're not having one. I'm not into just flipping the book open and wherever it lands, that's it. I really want to hear. My desire is to hear. And oftentimes that sets the atmosphere for everything. And yet we don't script anything. And yet it all fits together. So many times we've seen this. You think about the different testimonies today in light of these scriptures. And the songs that I don't have anything to do with the music. I like to play drums with them, but I don't pick the songs. They seek the Lord, and what they bring is what we have. Once in a while, I'll ask them if we can do a particular song, but that's their ministry. And I like for Tom, you, and Ann that have come to visit with us this morning. This may flow a little different than you might otherwise see in some places where people aren't allowed to speak and to share in the service. But it's so important. Jesus said that when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a hymn, a teaching, something to bring. Because the body of Christ, there's an interchange that takes place where we have something to share together, to encourage, to lift up and to minister to each other. And so I'm going to develop that a little bit more, but I understand that there's another part of this. Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just going to stand down for the time being, and this is all part of this, and it's so wonderful because they had these songs. We were going to do these 2.5 months ago, and he asked me 2 days ago, was it okay if we do the songs we had selected back then? But all I can say, it's like the Word. It works every day. We're repelled and repulsed by him. How could a carpenter's son have all of this wisdom? Where did he get these doctrines? Where did he get these teachings? Well, I remember him. He and his dad made my coffee table. And he thinks he's God. I have so found that the simplicity of life, the simplicity of a faith walk, sends out so much light to people that are looking, people that are hungry. And I think about, in a briefness of this, I think about the villages in India that are so rural, they're miles and miles and miles apart and wilderness in between. And many don't have electricity, but they have oil lamps and they have candles. And yet from a distance, when we are driving to a village And another thing too, a lot of the drivers don't use headlights. I don't know how they see. I'm hanging onto the handle, you know, that up there. And yet off in the distance, the tiniest of an oil lamp, the tiniest candle in a window, you can see that you're coming to that village because of the smallest of lights. And I know as believers sometimes it's real easy to feel like we've been isolated for 2 months. And of course the spirit of Antichrist would have loved to have snuffed out our candles, snuffed out the light, because without light people perish in darkness. And I see the spiritual activity behind something like this. It's just ripe to want to snuff that light out. But it's impossible. You cannot extinguish a believer's life, or you can take his life, but you can't take the light, because the light is his in each one of us. And even all the attempts when we were considered the lowest, it seems like, the lowest it seemed like of all of the non-essentials, was like, just stay in your homes. We don't need you. Don't ring your bells. Don't open your windows. We don't want to hear you. We don't want to see you. You're non-essential. Boy, I'll tell you, those are the words of hypocrites to the max. Those are words of a fool. We've all been there at one time in our walk before we knew the Lord. Oh, I don't need that. I'm good. I got my dope. I got my favorite bar. I got my favorite whatever. But now, we have something that is so valuable. This light is the life of the Spirit that flows through each one of us. It's the bond that connects us with our Heavenly Father. And they can put us anywhere, but they'll never take that. It's impossible. Your fires have been burning. I mean, it wasn't just a candle, it was a fire. You could just sense it in the atmosphere. Probably all of us knew before we got here it was perhaps going to be, something was going to be different. And I think that something might have possibly been, and I might suggest this, is what I felt when I put that flagpole. We came that close to losing it. In a lot of cases. And what would this world be like without that freedom? That freedom comes from the Lord. That candle, that light, we can't hide it. Even though we were quote-unquote quarantined in our homes, that light was still in the house. Everywhere you went, out of necessity, you brought the Lord's presence with you. You impacted the spiritual realm around you wherever you went, wherever you journeyed, even from room to room at times. Going to the post office, going to get groceries. If you had someone go for you, that was a blessing. But if you were the one that went, or you went to your workplace, these themes, how to work in a hostile environment, I'm going to have to save those. You're not going to hear that today. Our first day back, I don't want to hurry. I don't want to deny. But it's worth the wait. Because when you see how these scriptures apply for us as believers, some of you can really relate already. How to work in a hostile environment. Not everybody's rejoicing that we're back in this building today. And we need to really understand the reality of that. We're thankful to the Lord for that happening. But it can come and go again. not prophesying it well. Well, look how quick it happened the first time. None of us want to lose that. And I hope in all of this today, the conversations in the room, the testimonies, the songs, that we've come to realize maybe a little bit more the value and the worth of what we have. I should say, more importantly, who we have. Because He has us. And we're His beloveds. And we're each other's beloveds. And as always, this is just part one. We'll do part two next week, perhaps, but it's not going to go from this podium. It'll be here. But I want to ask if there's anyone that has need of prayer. I like to pray for people, and